thank you for that special. Wasn't that a blessing? All right, let's go ahead. We'll take our Bibles. I want us to go to Ephesians chapter 3. This is where I was last week, Ephesians chapter 3. And I mentioned last week as I was getting into just starting my message that a week and a half ago, it was when we were finishing our trip from Ohio, and I was just praying, asking the Lord to direct me and show me what He would want me to preach, and I just had a great sense that He wanted me to preach about my favorite verse, which is Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. And then as I began to study it out and just look at it, I realized, well, you know, I really can't go right to 20. I need to bring in the verses that precede that. And so that's where I was last week. And we were in Ephesians chapter 3, and we started actually in verse 14 and 15, but I covered verses 16, 17, 18, and 19 last week. And so we'll take a look at those verses. In fact, I'll go ahead and read verses 14 through 19 right now. And then today I will get into really my favorite verses, Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. But in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14, this was a prayer request. It was the second prayer request that the Apostle Paul gave to the Ephesian believers. He gave them, in chapter 1, you see a prayer request for some things that he wanted to see, that he wanted to see God work in their lives. And then chapter 3, we see another list of things that he's praying for them for. And this is what we have right here. In verse 14, he says this, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." And here are the things that the Apostle Paul, that God the Holy Spirit laid on his heart as he was inspired to write this epistle to the Ephesian believers. He says this, "That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man." Then he says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. And then he says here in the middle of verse 17, "That ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God." Now there is so much there, and last week as I covered those things, I mentioned how important it is for us, if we're going to have God be able to do what he wants to do in verses 20 and 21. And in fact, I'll read those verses right now, and then I'll make this point. We'll have a word of prayer, and we'll get into this message. But he says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think." Now, that's an amazing statement, and I'll get into that in just a few minutes. "According to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." Now, those were the verses that were laid on my heart a couple weeks ago, but I didn't want to just, again, go just to those two verses. I needed to just set it up. And those verses that precede what God's wanting to do in our lives, he's wanting to show himself, exceeding abundantly. He's wanting to show himself strong on our behalf, beyond what we can even ask or think. Now, that's pretty crazy when you think about that. Anything that we can imagine, God says, I'm way above that. Okay, we have a mighty, omnipotent God who, there is no lacking in his strength. But those verses that lead up to it are verses that are laid out for us that we would embrace, that we would make a conscious decision to choose for God to instill those things in our life. Because we need to have those things in our life. They're part of our grounding. They're part of our foundation for God to be able to take us on to greater things. And I believe verses 20 and 21 will happen really in proportion to how we receive verses 16, 17, 18, and 19. And we see in those verses, just real quick, and I'm not going to spend much time since I was there last week, but he's wanting to grant unto us. He's wanting to give to us as we ask for it. That's why he grants it, because we need to be praying for it. But he wants to grant to us, to give us strength. Strengthen us with all might. Folks, we need his strength. Amen? I know I need it every day. I've needed it all through this week. Now, I find myself to be very, very weak. I find myself to be very, very incompetent and not capable of doing a whole lot. But if I look unto Him, He can work through us. You remember the Lord said, and He says, without me, you can do nothing. Without the Lord Jesus Christ, we can do nothing. So we must learn how to operate in His strength, not in our own strength, but in His strength. And then verse 17 tells us another thing that He wants us to make a conscious decision that this is how we're going to live, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. You remember last week, if you listened to the message and we're here, that we're told to walk by faith and not by sight. We're to learn how to walk by faith. That goes against, how we're wired. I mean, because we're wired, we're physical creatures. You know, we have a physical body, and our physical eyes see physical things, and we can stay at that level our whole life. But God doesn't want us to do that. God wants us to learn how to walk by faith, how to trust Him, how to recognize the fact that God is working behind the scenes. And He cares to work behind the scenes. And if we'll learn to just trust Him, it says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. And I just brought up this point last week that, the Lord Jesus Christ in His person is at the right hand of the Father. But He says that He wants to dwell in our hearts by faith. You know, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. We have Christ living, but you know what He's saying is He wants to be right in our hearts by faith. The Lord doesn't want us to be at a distance. He wants us to be right there. And I talked about the importance of having a close-up relationship. We know some people from afar, and we maybe just have had phone calls with them and conversations through texting or whatever, and we know them from a distance, but then we know some people that are very, very up close to us and intimate, right? I know no one else like I know my wife, because we know each other. We know all the small little details that husbands and wives have between each other. Well, the Lord says, I want to have that same relationship with you as well. I want to be right here, and I want you to be walking alongside me. That's why He says He wants to dwell, that Christ may dwell in our hearts by faith. And then He brings up the last thing, that we might know the love of Christ. The end of verse 17, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. You think that's almost impossible? How could we know the breadth and length and depth and height of the love of Christ to us? But the Lord says that He would help us to comprehend that to some degree. I know these little finite minds, these little tiny peanut brains that we have, they can't really absorb a whole lot. I know some of you are saying, Brother Garcia, please speak for yourself, okay? Hey, listen, I know there's not a whole lot of marbles rolling up around the top of this head. I understand that. But you know what? God says, I can help you to comprehend it to whatever degree I want you to comprehend it. And we can begin to grasp that Christ loves us. And why does He love us? He loves us so much, obviously, that He gave His life for us. And then He wants to dwell in our hearts by faith. He wants to guide and direct, and we just need to follow that lead. But it says this in verse 19, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. The natural man really can't even get a hold of that one. It passeth knowledge, but God will help us to understand to a good degree this love that Christ has for us, that passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. So we need to really traffic in those verses and get a hold of them and let God work in our hearts those things. And then we're going to be able to see really to a good degree what verses 20 and 21 say, that God, now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. God will show Himself strong on our behalf. And maybe we've seen that. Hopefully, if we've walked with Christ long enough, we've watched Him work in our lives. And aren't we amazed that God would even want to have anything to do with our lives? But He is so good. So if we allow these things to be set in our hearts, then really the stage has been set. The stage has been set. And now we're going to take a look at verses 20 and 21 for the message here this morning. But let's pray and let's ask the Lord to help us. Father, we come to you today. We're so grateful to you. Lord, we thank you for your mercies to us and your kindness. Thank you, Lord, that you love us and you saved us. Lord, obviously, there's not a one of us that were worth saving. We didn't deserve it, but you in your mercy sought us out, and you brought us under conviction of our sins, and you showed us that we were on our way to hell, and you showed us a great Savior. And today, for those of us that are saved, we know, Lord, that we've been forgiven, that you've given to us eternal life. We have the fellowship with the brethren. We can have fellowship with you. And we just thank you for what you've given to us. Thank you for your word. Lord, we believe it's a perfect word. We thank you that you've preserved it from generation to generation. And we thank you, Lord, that we have it in our possession. We can read it every day. We thank you that you speak to our hearts through it. Thank you that we can pray and call out unto you. And Lord, we just look unto you this morning and we just ask for your help. I need your help. Again, I don't know how many times I've done it, but way too many times where I've just gotten in your way. And I don't want to get in your way today. I pray that you'd work in our hearts. You're a great God who wants to do some great things. And we're living in a time when there's just a lot of ugliness, a lot of wickedness that is abounding. And Lord, you're able to do some great, great things. Help us to recognize that fact. Help us not to limit the Holy One of Israel. So we pray today that you could work through me as I speak up here. I realize I'm nothing, but I don't want to get in your way, and I pray that you'd speak to our hearts. I pray that you, Holy Spirit, could do your work and address every need that's here today. And I pray for somebody that is here that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, that you'd work in their hearts and lives and show them that they need Jesus Christ. And that certainly takes me back all the way to when you saved me. So if there's somebody that's lost, we pray that you'd bring them to Christ. But help us, Lord. Help us to have ears to hear. We pray that you could do something in our hearts and strengthen our faith. And help us, Lord, to realize that you're all about wanting to do some great, great things in our life. And we thank you and praise you in Christ's name. Amen. Now, first of all, we take a look here at verse 20. And again, I remind you, it's my favorite verse, and so it's just a blessing to be able to, because I've really never preached just on these verses. Again, I think it was 4 or 5 years ago I preached through Ephesians, so I went through this passage, but here I'll be preaching this today. Now, we look at verse 20, and it says, "Now unto him," and really that's what I use as my first point, "Now unto him." Folks, it's all about the Lord Jesus Christ and what he wants to do. It's all about him, and that's something that I think that we've got to remind ourselves about, that, listen, it has nothing to do with us. You know, we like to make much to-do about ourselves, don't we? I mean, we have our own little Facebook accounts, and we got to make sure everybody sees everything that we're doing, and really, there's nothing wrong with that to some degree, but sometimes we can just take it a little too far, okay? Because I really don't care that you had meatloaf last night. That didn't really do anything for me, okay? Sometimes it gets to be too much about us, and it needs to be more about the Lord Jesus Christ and what he is about and what he wants to do. He says in John chapter 15 and verse 5, "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing." Boy, did you get that last part? Without me ye can do nothing. A big zero. That's what you and I are. I hate to just kind of, you know, put a big dig in your self-esteem and in my self-esteem, but I think we need to hear that. We are nothing. We're just a bunch of big zeros who deserve hell. But God saved us, and we're on our way to heaven. I think that's just great. And he loves us, and without Christ, we can do nothing. I say when someone has spoken this whole universe into existence by the breath of his mouth, it would be a good idea to defer to him. Wouldn't you say? I would say so. It says in Psalm 33 and verse 6, "By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth." It would be like being in a gym working out, and and you're struggling to get 75 pounds up, and then some guy comes up next to you and he just bench presses 350 pounds, several reps, you kind of want to defer to that guy. Nice job. Can I hold your towel for you? Maybe tie your shoes? And listen, that's just a tiny little bit of what of who Jesus Christ is. He's a million times more than that scenario that we ought to, folks, defer to him. That is the idea where with Christ, that now unto him, now unto him. This is why, this is where we back away into nothingness and let him have his way. That's what this verse is setting up, that we would allow him to just have his way. And if we'll learn to go down that road, we'll be able to watch him do what he wants to do. There's a hymn, number 507 in our hymn books, "Let him have his way." And these are some of the words: "Let him have his way with thee. His power can make you what you ought to be. His blood can cleanse your heart and make you free. His love can fill your soul, and you will see 'twas best for him to have his way with thee." Folks, that's our best course of action, is to let the Lord Jesus Christ have his way. It's just a good idea to let him have control of the reins of our life, that he can just do whatever he wants and control us and direct us. He certainly knows how to handle those reins. David said this in Psalm 26 and verse 2. He says, "Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart." Lord, I just give you permission to try my reins and my heart. Test it out. Prove it. I want it to be lined up with you. That ought to be a prayer that we pray regularly. Lord, am I lined up with you? Is it about you in my life? Or is it about me? The Apostle Paul said the same thing to the Romans when he said this in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." It's just what should be expected from us, that we would give our bodies as a living sacrifice. Lord, here's my body. Use it. I want you to use it for your glory, for your honor. I'm just giving it to you now. And as we do that, folks, we will begin to see more and more of the Lord's astonishing grace in our life and his power in our life. We'll begin to see that as we just simply recognize it's all about him. It's all about him. That's a good daily reminder. It's not about ourselves, but it's about him. So let's just continue on to this second point. "Now unto him," and then it says here in verse 20, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think." Let's we take a look at here at how he describes it. He says, and the Lord just doesn't throw in words for fluff or for filler, but he said that he is able to do exceeding abundantly. I mean, that's like saying, you know, monumentally incredible. I mean, we throw, I'm looking at some teachers and we're looking at some modifiers, and you have your kids write out an essay, and you say, "Use some modifiers." And some can really go bonkers with them, maybe, huh? But you know what? It really, it just describes. I mean, if words can really describe the Lord, I don't know that even words can do that. But, he's exceeding abundantly the things that he wants to do in our lives. It's way beyond measure. It is a heap and a gob times a million. I don't know. It's just a whole bunch. And God says that I can do exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or think. What a great, great definition. What a great description of him. We start off with he is able. You know, we sing that song with the kids. He is able. He is able. I know he is able. I know my Lord is able to carry me through. Folks, he's able. He is able, and there is There is nothing that he is not able to do. He can do all things. He has all strength. And we belong to him if we're saved. I think sometimes we just don't connect the dots. And sometimes we just look at our circumstances and we're going through something and we just think that God has forsaken us. We think that God, you know, we were just around our grandsons here this week and it was just great. We were doing all kinds of things. They will wear you out. My wife and I looked at each other and said, how did we do that? How did she do that? Well, we had a little bit more energy back in the day. And I watch Sawyer, and I just watch this little guy, and then Will, and Will's not so much running all over the place, but Sawyer is just like a little cartoon character. You just point him in a direction, and he's just gone. He'll just keep going. But his mom is watching him, and his dad's watching him, and she's always, you know, knowing where he's at. She sees the imminent danger of where he's going. She's all over him. Do you think God is any less of a parent than even the best of parents here on the earth? There's no way. No, that didn't come out right. Yes, he certainly is. That's what I wanted to say. Wrong wording there. Yeah, he certainly is. And we may be going through some trials and through some difficulties. He's watching us. And he's mindful of us. Better than any caring parent. The greatest caring parent on this planet. Doesn't even come close to how much God loves us. And he watches out over you and I. And he's just a good God. And he is full of all strength. And it doesn't matter what kind of jam that you are in, he will help you out. He says, call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will answer thee. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. I think about Elisha, a story. In fact, I'd like us to turn there, and we'll certainly come back to Ephesians chapter 3. So mark that in your Bibles, and then we'll turn over to 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6. And Elisha was with his servant, a younger man, and they found themselves in a jam. Now, to Elijah, it wasn't a jam, but to the servant it was. And it was in regard to the Syrian army, and the Syrian army had, earlier in the chapter, the Syrian army was, some of their efforts and their battle plans had been thwarted by the Israelites a number of times. So much so that the king of Syria said, what's going on? How do they know what we're planning on doing? Somebody is leaking information out. And then somebody steps forward among the king of Syria's men and said, oh, king, it's not anybody here that's leaking out information. We know what's going on here. It's the prophet Elisha. He just seems to know what our plans are. And he didn't go into detail, but I think it kind of comes out. God seems to help him know what we're planning on doing. And he lets the king of Israel know, and so the king of Israel knows what our plans are. And so then the king of Syria says, all right, let's take care of this Elisha character. And so in verse 13 it says, and he said, go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? Now, he didn't say it that way. You can imagine how he said it. Alas, my master, how shall we do? He's looking out the window and he says, we're surrounded. There's horses and chariots. This is the Syrian army. What are we going to do? And he answered, fear not. I can just see Elisha just very calmly saying, fear not. He says, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. And when they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, Smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness. And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. And Elisha said unto them, This is not the way, neither is this the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom ye seek. But he led them to Samaria. So you see this amazing story of a situation that looked so lopsided in one direction, and yet in truth, it was all stacked on God's side. It was all stacked on God's side, but that young servant couldn't see that. He just saw the physical. He just saw what was outside the house, that they were surrounded, and there is no hope. And he said, Alas, Master, what shall we do? And Elisha calmly says, Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And he prays, and God answers Elisha's prayer and shows the spiritual world of horses and chariots of fire, probably all around them. And then Elisha prays and asks the Lord to smite the Syrian army with blindness, and they do not even understand what's going on. And Elisha says, I'm not the one you're seeking after. Let me take you to who you're seeking after. And he takes him to the king of Israel, as we would continue to read on. I won't continue, but he takes him right to the king of Israel. And the king says, Oh, what shall we do? Just annihilate them all? And Elisha says, No, just feed them and take care of them and then let them go. And quite the response. But folks, I think if we would have a little bit more faith and we learn to walk by faith, we'd understand that God's got all of this. God's got all of this in control. Everything that is happening right now. And sometimes we can get our eyes a little glued too much to the TV, and we see all of the wickedness and all of this divisiveness that's going on in our country. And it can make our hearts kind of sag. Amen? Sure. But if we realize that God's greater, there'd be more on our side than are on their side. If we would understand that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, then we'll understand that we're doing just fine. God, you've got all of this under control, and we're just going to trust you because as bad as things might look, don't be fooled, folks, because there'd be more with us than there are with them. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. He wants to go above anything that we can ask or think. Don't limit our great God. God says, whatever it is that you can come up with, I can be beyond that. I don't think it's wrong to pray for revival. Some people say, it's just not going to happen on these days. Oh, we still have a great God that can bring a revival. And we ought to be praying for that. We ought to be praying, Lord, yeah, you've let this, you've allowed this to get pretty dark right now. And the future doesn't look so bright for America, but you're still on the throne. And we trust you. And we're looking for you to do some great, great things. And we just want to, whatever you choose to do, we know you can do it. You think that honors God? Yeah, when my kids, you know, whenever they would, Dad, would you just show us how to do that? Would you just show us how strong you are? Well, maybe. Oh, please, Dad, please show us. Show us how strong you are. Okay, come on over here. Look at this. I'll pick up this gallon of milk by one hand. Look at that. Can you do that? No, Dad, you're so powerful. We as dads love to show our kids how strong we are. And kids like to see how... Kids like to see the strength in their dad. They like that. And God wants to show himself strong on our behalf. And if we'll just simply say, God, you're greater than all these things, would you show yourself strong? Would you allow us to see some great things that we know it's your will? We want to see some people get saved. We want to see you work in people's hearts and lives, your people, that would get right and our hearts would be honoring unto you, that we would live right, that we would live godly and holy, and when we do something wrong, that and when we offend one another, we get it right, because we want to honor you. We want to see you do your work in our midst. And God wants to, he wants to do that. Let's make sure that we don't limit our great God. Amen? And then let's always remember that he is able to do great things. Because that next point comes out here at the last part of verse 20. Oh, let me get back here to Ephesians chapter 3. The last part of verse 20, when he says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." According to that power, that's the third point, that it's within us by his power. He wants to work through us and in our lives. According to the power that worketh in us. Psalm 61 and verse 11 says, "God hath spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God." It belongs unto God. Make no mistake about it, if you're going to go anywhere in your spiritual life, then you must look unto God to do it. And God will give you the strength to do it. Now, if you want to live in this world to accomplish worldly things, then God has given you some strength and energy in your physical body. And you can do some physical acts of prowess as much as you want. I was just looking at a list, a lady by the name of Gladys Burrell. Gladys Burrell ran a marathon at the age of 92. That's pretty incredible. William Ivy Baldwin, and I think this was back in 1948, he tightrope walked across a canyon at the age of 82. I don't think I'll be doing that at the age of 82. And Teichi Igarashi climbed Mount Fuji in Japan when he was 100 years old. That's pretty amazing, physical feats. But folks, but when it comes to living for him, and for defeating spiritual foes, for seeing people one to Jesus Christ, for seeing him bring revival in the hearts of God's people, it will be God alone who does it through us. And we just simply need to yield to him. Folks, we're not going to be able to do any of that. And not to just make those things, make light of those things. Those are pretty neat physical accomplishments. But is that what we're here for? You know, I heard about a lady that lives in Great Britain, and she has the Guinness Book of World Record of being able to yell the loudest, the highest decibel. Boy, wouldn't that be nice to be her husband? Yeah, she's over there practicing again. Listen, there are a lot better things to spend our time with. And simply yielding to the Lord and letting him do through us what we can't do. But we have to yield ourselves to him. We have to simply allow him to do what he wants. To do what's right. To be in that book. To spend time in prayer. And to daily surrender our lives as a living sacrifice. Say, "Lord, I want you to have my body again today. I want you to use me. I want you to help my mind to stay on the things of God." But you know what? We have to make an effort. We have to put the Word of God in there. We can't just passively sit by and think that he's going to do it all. We have to make some efforts. We have to get up and read this Word. But we have to come with the right disposition, the right attitude, and say, "Lord, help me. I want my heart to be right so that when I read your Word, that you'll change me, that you'll begin to transform me." You know, as the psalmist said, "Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." Lord, show me. Folks, this is where we're at right now, and we simply need to call unto him and ask him to show us his power. Ask him to be able to work through us. Jeremiah 33:3 says, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." I will show you some great things if you'll call upon me. Folks, he can turn situations that are beginning to look very dire, that look very gloomy, into one of great victory. He likes to do that. You look at the Jews when they were backed up to the Red Sea, and here comes Pharaoh and the Egyptian army. It looked like they were toast. But God says, "Watch what I can do." And he opens up a Red Sea. and makes a way for them to escape. And then you think of how he turned things around in the book of Esther when Haman had gotten King Ahasuerus. He got him to make a law, and that law ended up being really the potential demise of the Jews. And Haman was behind that, and Haman was driven, such a picture of Satan. And yet, at the last moment, God turned that thing around and saved his people. He did the same thing with Daniel. When Daniel looked like his life was going to be extinguished in the lion's den, you think, there's no way he's going to survive that. But God just kept the lion's mouth shut. He put an angel in there, and they didn't do anything to Daniel. Or Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they said, well, you know, we're not careful about this matter, O king. I mean, you know, we're not going to bow, and you can throw us into that fire, and you know what? If we get burned up, we get burned up, but our God is able to deliver us, and we're just going to trust him. And God showed himself strong on their behalf. And he's done that over and over and over again because he likes to show his power. And he shows that power and he works it through us as we simply yield unto him. Folks, let's always remember when he does that, whether it's big or small, to always give him the praise. To always take the time to get on our knees and to thank him for what he's done. Doesn't matter how small it may be, if you and I will learn to be thankful, he's pleased with that. We're to give thanks in everything. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you and myself. Amen. And so let's not let anything go by and say, Lord, I just want to tell you thank you. That might have been one of the smaller things, but you did it. And I just want to praise you for that. Let's make sure that we don't allow those things to go by. And so let's make sure that we honor and glorify him. As we read verse 21, it says, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. So I challenge you today, as I challenge myself, just to call upon this great God of heaven. He's our Father. We can call him Father because of what Christ has done for us, because Christ reconciled us to God. We were at enmity with God, and because of that sacrifice of our great Savior, and because of that precious blood that was shed on our behalf, we now have God, who we can call Father. What a great thing. And it may be something, folks, that you're dealing with in your life right now, something that seems very daunting, and just trust the Lord Jesus Christ with it. Pray as David once prayed in 1 Chronicles chapter 29 and verse 11. He says, thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. David was good at doing that. He was good at praising God and giving him the glory. And so I say it again because I have to remind myself. Sometimes we can be quick to take the credit for things. Somebody says, oh, wow, thank you for doing that. No problem. It was no sweat. No, praise the Lord that he gave me the ability to be able to help you. It was God who gave me the energy or the wherewithal or gave a plan to me to be able to help you with. Somebody called me recently and said that they were going through just some challenges and you know, and I prayed, and then I just brought up some things, and it just seemed like they just kept flowing, and there were verses, and I just kept giving that to them, and they said, you know, thank you so much. That was just great. I've written some of those things down, and, you know, there's just a part of my old flesh that just says, that's what I do, you know. I didn't want to go there. I just said, no, thank the Lord. He's good. And when that conversation was over, I just thanked the Lord and said, thank you, Lord. And you gave me some verses that just came to me. And they didn't just come to me. You gave them to me. And, you know, because that before that conversation took place, I said, Lord, help me. Because I don't have anything to give them. Remember the man that in the parable, he didn't have bread for that traveler. And so he had to go to a friend at midnight. There's somebody else that has the goods that we need. And it's the Lord. And we have to recognize, as able and as competent and as talented as you may think you are, you and I need to stop and say, Lord, you've given me some abilities, but I don't want to take credit for what you just allowed me to be able to do. Yeah, you used me to help that person, but it was you that did it. And may we learn to do that, because it's all because of him and what he has allowed us to do. And folks, that's why I say we always, 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 always make sure to give him the praise. It belongs only to him, and he is the one that deserves it. We will go on in this life and then transition into eternity one day. The Lord may come back or we may go to be with him. But folks, we're going to spend eternity giving honor and glory unto him. And may we learn to do that here and not take it unto ourselves. So the question is this, as I wrap this up here this morning, is will we allow him to show forth his greatness in this generation at this time? I believe God wants to do some great things, and I believe he has done many great things, but I believe he wants to do more great things before he comes back for his church. And I believe he's going to come back for the bride of Christ. I believe he's going to come back for the church and take us out of here. And it may be in this next year. It might be a few years away, but if it comes this afternoon, I'm just going to be the more rejoicing over that. He hasn't messed up any of my plans. Amen? But whatever time that we have, may we be all about, Lord, what do you want to do through me? We want to see you glorified. We want to see you lifted up and do whatever great things you want to do. Will we be able to say, folks, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Are we able to... Will we be able to say that from our hearts? Lord, you do what you want to do in our lives, and we'll just be surrendered to you. Now, before I close in a word of prayer and we have an invitation, let me just say, maybe you're here today without Christ. Now, I've been teaching or preaching to us believers, brothers and sisters in Christ, that we would yield our lives to the Lord and let him do through us some amazing things, because he's an amazing God. But if you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, then I want to make an invitation to you. As I remember a day when I was lost, and I had some that were praying for me, and I'm so grateful for those people. And that invitation is, if you're here today, you don't know Christ as your Savior. Maybe you've believed in him, but it's all just head knowledge. And you don't know him as your Savior. And you can be saved today. And Jesus Christ died on a cross for you. Sinless. Never sinned once. And then he died intentionally at the hands of wicked men and was buried and rose again. And now he's at the right hand of the Father. He wants to come into your life and save you and give you eternal life. So if you're here today without Christ, then as we have an invitation, we'll sing a hymn in just a few moments, then I would encourage you to step out in the aisle and come forward. We'll have somebody here that can tell you and show you from the Bible how you can be saved. And Christian, if God's spoken to your heart about this particular two verses, and what he wants to do in your life and in my life, and maybe we're at a point right now, we're just not letting God do what he wants to do in our lives. We haven't yielded to him. We haven't fully surrendered to him. If God's spoken to your heart, I hope you respond today and let him do what he wants to do in your heart and in mine. With that, let's go ahead and pray, and we'll have the piano player come up, the song leader, and we'll sing in just a couple moments. Father, we come to you this afternoon now, and we just thank you again for your goodness to us. Thank you again for your word. Your word is just amazing, and we thank you for this section of this passage of Scripture that we've been able to look at, of what you want to do through our lives, how you are a God that has no limits. May we not limit you. May we understand that you want to do some great things. There are people you want to see saved, and you want to use us to be a light in this dark world. Help us to just simply yield to you, to submit our hearts to you. Help us to learn to walk by faith, that we might, again, be able to see your greatness in our lives. Lord, we pray that you would work in the hearts and lives of anybody that may be here today without Christ, that you'd show them that they need to be saved, and we pray for them. And then for your people, Lord, if maybe there's some struggles going on, and maybe there's some that are maybe even resisting you. I pray you'll work in hearts and lives and draw people to yourself. And I pray for decisions that need to be made today. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.